This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
New stuff from Def Leppard just came out the other day.
I wouldn't say this is new.
That's not new.
It's not a new song. It's a new Def Leppard song. It doesn't even sound like Joe Elliott.
Well, they're all old too now.
That we'll see. Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice.
Be afraid. This is interesting.
Turn it up just a little bit, Sammy.
Here's a little more of it. Smooth tones.
That sounds nothing like Joe Elliott.
I know.
Wow. It's good.
One of the greatest songs.
I remember that. It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the latest college basketball rankings are out.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yes, let's do.
Mizzou is at 15. KU is at 16.
I don't know what's going on with the boys this year, but yeah, they are not doing what they need to be
dogs
doing.
Dogs are fighting cats. Cats are fighting dogs.
I mean,
Mizzou's ranked higher than KU.
Fine.
Pigs are flying.
What has happened? I don't want to talk
about
it.
It's just a bad season.
MU is looking very good this season. They are playing very well, and they proved that in the KU-MU matchup.
At the moment, season. You cannot pick up the KU basketball team from the clean-up. That is a turd.
Moving on.
It is a turd.
This story has gone viral.
Moving on.
Despicable is the word people are using. Despicable. After massive fight breaks out at a youth basketball tournament in Missouri.
Why did you say it like that?
A massive fight broke out at a youth basketball tournament in Missouri over the weekend. Quote, all hell breaks loose is a fitting way to describe what happened. I want you to see if there's video here, Scott. This was in Cape Girardeau.
There is, I believe, but I'm not playing it because we haven't checked it for
words. It featured a 32-year-old man threatening to shoot up the place while a massive fight broke out on the court.
Video seems like a totally reasonable response.
Oh, sure. Video of the fight was captured by a mother who was there watching her son's game.
Okay.
You hear a woman shouting, is this ever going to stop? Y'all grown adults and these are children just sad. Shout out to Cape Girardeau Police Department for arriving very quickly.
Okay, there is not video, but there is a still picture.
There are still pictures. I'm going to call this a melee. Dare I say a fracas.
Can you describe the fracas?
Police announced a statement on what happened. As the two coaches left the facility, one coach allegedly made a threat to the other coach. The police were called and responded. When they got there, the fracas continued.
Oh, wait, there is video.
I don't know that we... Oh.
In this day and age, I would think everyone would whip out their phones.
It is full on multiple parents, children against children, parents against parents.
Dogs against cats. It's crazy.
There's no way this started as a altercation on the court. This was just people fighting for the sake of fighting. I'm confused.
Well, the video doesn't start when the fracas started.
It never does.
No, but there are no fewer than at least 100 people on the court.
One mom says, "My child and me were, quote, separated. I was shoved out of the way by grown men trying to get out the door. This was very much downplayed." One mom says, "They will say whatever they can to keep business coming in. We came in from Kentucky. It is the first time there. It will be the last."
The best part is, as you get to the end of the video, it looks like somebody during the fracas actually grabs a basketball and takes a shot at one of the nets.
Did he make it?
What?
No.
I mean, you're out there on the court.
You might as well take your shot.
Let me get a little practice in while everybody's fighting.
This was Sunday afternoon.
Somebody in the background shooting baskets.
It's a three.
Look, there's a. Hang on, you'll see it in just a second.
Oh, yeah.
They're shooting baskets.
Coaches from both teams were asked to leave as one of the coaches began to make threats to the other.
Was this high school?
It looks like a club level stuff. Oh. Not two schools.
I think middle school.
Like an out-of-state tournament kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it was held at the Sportsplex.
Okay, now listen to this. Hillary Mayberry shared a similar point of view, indicating there wasn't enough security to stop the chain of events. Quote, "When my students and my own family members are crying in fear, running for safety, I get vocal. Something has to be done. Someone's going to be severely hurt or worse. Simply put, ban the coaches and or the individuals who act in this manner the moment it starts." I will say this. It's been a while since we've heard about a coach getting involved in something. It's usually parents. Sparring parents.
Is it sad commentary, though, that we need to even have the conversation regarding armed security at a youth sport event?
I saw that text come in. I don't think you want armed. I mean, maybe
if
they're police, but what are you going to do? Shoot somebody?
I think police have to be here. There was a story in our stack within the last month, Sam, help me remember, where a dad was charged for punching a referee and knocking him out.
Yeah.
And it was the second time
that
dad has punched someone on the court. Was that not local?
It was regional-ish. And that dad was the dad of a middle school girl.
I think you have to have off-duty police.
Dana, I was a coach for 20 years. I coach youth soccer. You guys all know that. Coached three different teams in my two-decade career as a coach. I must have coached hundreds of games. I don't ever remember going out to any soccer complex and ever seeing a cop. Ever.
Okay.
Maybe soccer's just more chill.
I don't know that soccer is more chill, but I would feel safer at this gigantic outdoor facility, on the grass where you can, if you need to get out of there with your kid, you just turn and walk away.
Now, there were ambulances.
In a basketball gym, you're not only shoved in there with other crazy people if they decide to go crazy, you're shoved in there on bleachers.
When I was in grade school, there was a parent who was getting chippy with another parent and fists started flying.
You know, the thing is, even if you have security, an off-duty police officer, armed or not, people are still going to act a fool.
And if you have 100 people brawling, two cops isn't going to do anything.
And so the root issue of why people think they get to act like this in public
is deeper than this conversation. I am forever thankful. I say it multiple times a week that I am out of that
window.
Part of my life where we were routinely going to the gym to watch these things.
I also had a coach banned from the diamond.
Just walk away, Parks.
Walk away.
Just walk away.
It's just sports.
I wonder who that guy was.
Entertainment.
Because I didn't know him.
I don't know.
We need to stop living vicariously through our kids.
Amen to that.
They are not going to be the next Caitlin Clark or the next Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And simmer down.
And the refs are not, and I use this word loosely, professional. They're not adept at hiding their bias like a good Chiefs referee.
Really?
Okay.
Nice.
Really?
All right.
from the text really? Line. These Look, parents were turnt.
It's quite the can you just opened.
I was just kidding. It's a
all
joke.
Those worms.
Channel 12 in St. Louis says we reached out to the tournament director who said the two coaches involved in the altercation and their teams will be banned. Listen to this. The teams were from Charleston and Sykeston. He also says there is a plan now to have private security at the Sportsplex, which says to me there wasn't before. No. I cannot believe for a large tournament, all of those kids, all of those parents, all of, you know how those tournaments run, they did not have security on site.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Zero 440 writes, I will die on the hill that soccer parents are the worst. Sometimes they can be. But I'll tell you what we used to do, Coach Dusty and I, is before the season would start, one of us would have that conversation with, well, when we first started coaching, we had it with all the parents, but then as new kids came in, we would have it with
this contract here that you won't be mean.
All we would say is, our job is to coach, your job is to cheer. And they knew that we expected a certain decorum on the sidelines. And we never, ever, ever had a problem. Now, the parents probably hated us, but I was there to coach their kids, not make friends. 913-586-7798. Jennifer in Kansas City. Jennifer, hello.
Hi. My husband is are we there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear? My husband is an official, and he works high school baseball, football, and basketball in the Johnson County area. And the parents are a real challenge. And he has had great support from coaches and from the athletic directors that if he, you know, he's been approached in the parking lot when they're leaving after games by parents. And he notifies the schools and the athletic directors have really taken, they listen to him. He's been doing it for more than 20 years. In baseball, he's giving up, but he said that's a really hard sport because the umpire behind the plate is stuck there listening to the parents in the stand.
Jennifer, my person said the exact same thing, that baseball could be the worst, not because the parent behavior was worse.
Because the parents are right there.
They are right there. And then you call the ball or the strike. Then the catcher, you know, sends the ball back to the pit. There's like this lag, whereas in basketball, he's running up and down and up and down and up and down. You don't hear
catch
a thing.
Him on the flyby.
And in football, you really don't hear a thing. But in baseball, you are right there.
I don't know if I agree with you on if you're like a high school football ref. I've gone to a handful of high school football games recently, and some of those parents are just obnoxious.
And they're loud. You can't really hear them down on the field.
And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Does it go back to the culture that we've adopted in professional sports?
What do you mean? Where everybody thinks they're the ref?
You suck is a pretty common chant.
Yeah.
At different professional sporting events, there's another variation of that.
So is bull blank.
I hate when I go to, a Chiefs game. It drives me crazy when someone in the stands is screaming at a player or at an official. Okay, there's 70,000 people there. Do you really think they're listening to you or that they care about your two cents, Ed, from,
They can't hear you at a professional game.
They can hear you when the entire crowd is chanting it.
Well, that's fair.
I don't disagree with that. But, as a spectator, there's always, that one person that just won't shut up screaming. And,
they're always in the last row.
You're just disrupting this for everybody else.
Right. Let's go to Pam in Blue Springs. Pam, good afternoon. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me on today.
Of course.
So I'm an empty nester, have been. My daughter's 32 years old, but I have grandchildren now, and I have a 16-year-old granddaughter in competitive dance. You want to talk about parents? there's something to talk about there. The competition is so severe, the stress. But then I also have a grandson in Raytown, and he is in basketball for the first time. And they don't know what they're doing, and the parents are screaming at their kids, screaming at the referees. And I just wanted to say, Dana, even though it's over for us, it's not over when you have grandchildren, because I promise to be at every game.
Great point,
and,
my mom.
And you want to go and you want to sit there and you want to support them. And I'm glad she brought up dance. I've said for years, as a mother of two daughters, I thank the heavens and the stars multiple times per day.
That they never got into dance. I'll tell you, and I've told you this before, one of the most competitive things I've ever been involved with is a beauty pageant.
Well, the dance, Scott, it's the money.
Yeah.
It's the travel.
Yep.
It's the other, I mean, it's the trifecta of all of that stuff.
But remember I told you the story when I did two beauty pageants, Miss Nebraska and Miss Missouri, and they would gather the judges before we would, you know, bring in all the young ladies. And one of the things we were warned about is if you go to the restroom, do not talk, because dads will follow you into the restroom to see which gals you thought were really good and which gals you thought were not so good.
So awkward.
And take notes based on what you were saying.
Yeah, and so the ladies who were also judges were told the same thing. Do not talk when you go to the restroom. Moms will follow you in.
Not to mention dance moms.
Yeah. Chris in Lee's Summit. Chris, hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
How you guys doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Yeah, I've done a couple different sports. The one I settled on to do the most was football. I've done youth and high school football for 15 years. And the thing that makes it great is that you have tools as an official. You know, if you have parents that are not being sportsmanlike, you go over, you talk to the coach, you tell the coach to deal with it. If the coach doesn't deal with it, you throw your flag out, you give them a sideline warning, you let everybody know the next one's going to be a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty on the coach. If they keep doing it, you walk the yards off, take the 15 yards, and warn the coach. And then a second one, typically the coach is ejected. Mm. And then the third one, or the next one, you eject another coach, and you just keep going. And typically the parents give up and quit yelling.
Have you ever been followed into the parking lot after a game?
I have not been followed into a parking lot. And I've never been in a game that got so contentious that it felt unsafe.
Yeah.
I'm glad for you, Chris, because that stuff scares me to death.
Do you still ref?
I don't ref anymore. My kids got to the age where they started playing, so my weekends were full of going and watching them rather than still officiating.
Do appreciate the call, man.
Now, you had mentioned something about the travel and the cost. Is that another issue here because of the rise of elite sports? We're talking about spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 per kid per sport.
It was an issue in this specific brawl because the parents, especially the ones that came in from out of town, said it was so much money to be part of this round robin tournament that went all day long. And it was $50 to get in, you know, plus the hotel and all that stuff. And one of the points they were making, Sam, is with all of that money coming into this sportsplex, don't tell me you couldn't have hired a security guard.
So with the non-regular season tournaments, it can be a little bit expensive if you're, to Dana's point, if you are traveling, yes.
Well, and then they have like the elite teams.
Which travel a lot more than just rec teams.
Right.
Like we would, at the end of every season, when they were younger, Dusty and I would sign them up for a tournament. Just to end the season, but we only played in the Kansas City area. We never, we didn't go to Des Moines or St. Louis or Lincoln, Nebraska or anything. We only played in town. But when we would play, there would be teams from Arkansas, Oklahoma City, Wichita, Topeka, and minus Topeka, those players are getting a hotel room in town.
Well, when I was younger, elite sports were really taking off, and we looked into elite soccer. Mm-hmm. It was $1,200 for the season just for the coach. That was one cost.
Yeah, you have to pay the coach. Yep. Gene in Olathe. Gene, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, how are you all?
We're doing well. You get the last word. Go ahead.
Okay, I just have a little funny about soccer sideline parents, grandparents, and all that. When our oldest granddaughter was playing soccer as a lifetime sport practically, we attended every game, and usually about this time she was 10 or 12, so they had high school kids as coaches or as referees, excuse me. Anyhow, there was a bad call by the referee, and according to grandpa, and he yelled at the referee and said, "What's the matter? Do you have dirt in your eyes?" And the referee immediately flagged up the red card. Grandpa was out of the game, off the field. He couldn't even stay on the field.
Oh.
And, of course, We who were related to Grandpa thought it was pretty funny, and his granddaughter thought it was just the best thing ever that Grandpa had stood up for that bad call. So anyway, it was a funny time.
Okay, Jean, thanks for the call.
I thought she was going to say the opposite. She said they thought it was funny. I would have been furious.
I would have been.
Someone in my party gets ejected from. I would have been furious.
A little embarrassing. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's only a misdemeanor, but Dana and I were just talking about this off the air, and I read the story this morning. I think it was in the USA Today or NBC News, one of the two, where two employees at Reagan National Airport have been arrested, charged with misdemeanors, for leaking airport video footage of the collision between the airplane and the helicopter. And so this is taken, this video is taken, it's the most recent one you've seen if you've been online recently. It is taken from the vantage point of the runway.
So this was the end of runway camera. They've got it up on a pole just for FAA regulations.
Yep. It's the video, not that all of the video isn't jaw-dropping because it is. It's the video clip that when you see it, collectively, everyone thinks the same thing.
How did they not see that plane?
How the hell did that chopper not see the plane? Because from the vantage point of the end of the runway, looking backward, you see the jet coming toward the runway.
And all the lights that are on the front of the jet.
All the bright lights that are on it.
It is so bright.
And then from the left of the screen, here comes the chopper. And there's all this time, and then it just runs right into it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed odd to me that the airport would have released that footage, and so now these charges make sense.
Yeah, two guys who worked at the airport. They arrested one over the weekend, and I think the other one yesterday or Sunday. But I'm not going to get into any conspiracy theories, But I remember watching that video at home this morning as I was doing some show prep. And I was the only one home. And I said out loud, how do you not see that? How do you not see that? That plane is so bright.
And or how was there not something on board frantically alerting that the plane was there? The only thing that, if they were wearing the night vision goggles, multiple pilots have called in to say that's bad.
You wouldn't do that over a city.
Because that would be very hard to see if you were doing that over the bright lights of a city.
Because of the light noise, yes.
I've said just in passing, and I don't think this is what it was, but the only scenario that makes sense to me, as you are flying directly into the path of a plane, the only scenario that makes sense is if all three of those pilots, with all of those years' experience, saw something down on the ground to the right. You know, like when you're flying into Vegas, the pilot will say, well, if you look off to your right there, you see the Luxor. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't even know why this would happen. If all three at the same time were looking down and going, oh, look down at that. Yeah, look. You know, they were having some discussion, which you're not supposed to do when you're piloting a
something big caught their attention.
Something to swivel their heads in tandem the wrong way and then boom.
Now, I believe the report has come out, and I don't remember the exact number, but there were a number of planes in the final approach rotation. So when ATC said to the chopper, do you see the plane? We didn't hear the response because they're on a separate frequency, but they responded, yes, we see the plane.
They responded, yes.
Now, the big question is, which plane did they see?
The one right next to you.
Well, but as Jesse talked about, with a lot of light pollution in the city, all you see is a bunch of lights. They saw some moving lights and said, yes, we see the plane. They obviously, as we have seen what happened, weren't looking at the proper set of moving lights.
Let me address this real quick on the text line. The helicopter did not run into the front of the airplane. That is true, Texter. It ran into the side of the airplane. The headlights on the front of the airplane were not pointed at the helicopter. It most certainly basically was because, yes, you're right. A slow-moving helicopter did run into a very fast-moving airplane. But that airplane had to have been off to the left, but still in front
as
of the helicopter.
Crossed in front.
They didn't hit each other in stopped motion. The airplane was off to the left, but still very much in front of the helicopter.
You can formulate whatever opinion you want at this point. Before the facts are in, that's your opinion. When you look at the specific leaked video that we are talking about,
your opinion will change.
I'm telling you, of all the different videos you've seen, it is this leaked video for which those men are in trouble that you will scratch. I have said every time I see the video, I go, mm-hmm. How the hell did that happen?
Yes. And keep in mind that this video is shot from the runway where the plane was supposed to land. You see that the plane is a little bit off in the distance. It is very lit up, very bright. You would almost think, I didn't know planes had that many lights on them. And then you see the frame of a helicopter off to the left.
And how much time, Scott? I haven't timed it, but the other thing that really stands out to me is that when the helicopter comes in from the left side of the screen, mm-hmm. and is motoring along toward that airplane, it is what I would consider to be a substantial amount of time. It's not the helicopter is there and then boom, it hits the plane.
Right.
The helicopter is trucking along 1/1000, 2/1000, maybe 3 seconds, 4 before that impact.
Yes.
And you, then you will say, okay, it seems like a lot of time. As it is traveling left to right before impact.
And listen, I'm not trying to second guess anyone. I'm just asking the question I think anybody would ask.
Oh, God, those poor family members.
If they see this video, and it's how did the people in the helicopter not see that plane? End of story.
And, of course, the biggest question being, how did we allow
the flights
to
without question
aircraft in the same airspace to get close enough to even have a close call, let alone the result that we have seen?
You mm-hmm. missed the show the other day. One of the just horrifying details that have of all of it that's come out in the last couple of weeks are the reports from very experienced pilots before this happened
about
near misses with helicopters before this happened. There was one 24 hours prior, also at Reagan, also an experienced pilot who said they had to divert because to avoid collision with a helicopter. Mm-hmm. And then there were a string of other reports. If you look back a few years, trust the pilots. The pilots are the ones screaming that we have been concerned about this for a very long time.
And I'll go back to something I said either yesterday or on Friday. And listen, growing up in the military, I understand the importance of helicopters in the Army, and people have to be properly trained, and they have a purpose. They have a right to the sky. There is no reason why any aircraft should be flying over the Potomac in the path of that runway, which is literally right on the river.
Well, and we talk about how many near misses there have been. And they said that the aircraft had a specific altitude restriction, a ceiling
200
of 200 feet. Any plane that is doing what it's supposed to be doing is going to cause a near miss every single time.
I will say this for the families. There is no silver lining ever. There's just not. But I did that when I saw that all 67 victims' remains have been recovered.
Yes.
Those are children on that plane.
Many of them, 14 of them were, there were actually some young children, too, that were not part of the ice skating team.
There's so many young people. And not that you don't want everyone recovered in their 60s or 70s or 80s.
No, but at least at that point, you know, they had a good life.
At least get the children back to their families.
I've read so many stories, they just break my heart. There was one guy, one woman who was traveling with a young child, and she texted her husband from the plane and said, just sat down and got a glass of wine from the flight attendant. I love you. I'll see you soon. I'll text you when we land. He never got another text.
And the guy who was sitting in the airport texting back and forth with his wife, who said, we are entering final departure. She had the Wi-Fi so that she could text on iMessage. He sent three different text messages, and they did not deliver. And he said that's when he knew something was wrong.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. The NTSB now reporting that the Black Hawk helicopter was roughly 300 feet up during the collision. They had a ceiling of 200. Let's go to Jacob in Platte City. Jacob, hello.
Hey, Scott.
Hi.
So before I get to explaining TCAS, it was confirmed they had their NVGs on. They're trying to figure out if they were using them and who was using them.
NVGs, night vision goggles.
Correct.
Why would they use them over a city, though? Everything I've read says that you only use night vision goggles in near complete darkness or complete darkness because the light noise of a city, especially one as large as D.C., would actually impair your vision through those goggles.
Well, that is correct, which is why we're waiting to find out if they actually were using them or not. They were wearing them. And as to answer Dana's question earlier, as far as how TCAS works, below 1,000 feet, it does not give you a RA or a resolution advisory, which would tell one pilot to pull up and one pilot to descend. At that altitude, you're going to descend into the ground. So what would normally happen is you just get a alert on your dash, and in this case, it was confirmed through the cockpit voice recorder that there was an oral warning 18 seconds prior to the collision that said traffic, traffic.
Okay. Well, I do know, and I don't want to beleaguer the point, but that there were night vision goggles on the helicopter. Yeah. Now, to Jacob's point, I think, whether or not they were actually using it, we don't know. I would assume they were not. Certainly, a captain and a CW2 would be wise enough to know that night vision goggles over a city are not really of use.
Well, what Jacob said was that they have confirmed that they were on. So they had the night vision goggles on their head. But whether or not they were turned on,
right,
is a different story. Okay. Otherwise, they're just, you know, fancy binoculars that aren't altering your vision in any way other than taking away your peripherals.
Citing what it calls a potentially dire situation, State Farm yesterday asked the state of California for permission to hike insurance rates by an average of 22%.
Yep.
In the wake of the LA area wildfires that occurred in January, the insurer said it has already paid out more than $1 billion to customers after receiving more than 8,700 claims. And because insurance premiums have been kept artificially low for many years, it was unable to collect the premium dollars it needed. Quoting here from State Farm, insurance will cost more for customers in California going forward because the risk is greater in California. Higher risk should pay more for insurance than lower risks. Over the last 9 years, the lack of alignment between price and risk means that for every $1 collected in premium, State Farm has spent $1.26.
I find that very hard to believe. And I certainly find that hard to believe across the board, Scott. Because how many millions of Americans are paying premiums every single month faithfully and never have a single claim?
Now, could they theoretically, because every state or most states have an insurance commissioner.
You have to give note. If you're asking what I think you're about to ask, you have to give notice that you're going to be dumped, but it doesn't. You heard one of the actors in California say they got notice that their insurance was going to dump them. They'd never had a claim.
Is that John Voight?
I don't remember which one it was. And then he said it took 3 months.
And he just got the week before the fire.
To find another carrier that would pick them up. I don't think it should be legal for an insurance company to do that.
But it's my understanding that the individual states have to approve a hike in insurance rates, I think.
There is an insurance board in each state.
Yeah. So let's say California says, no, you can't raise the rates 22%. Can State Farm go to Kansas and say, we are bleeding money because of what happened out in California. We need to raise the rates of our insurees in Kansas, in Missouri,
and
in
Nebraska.
And then
Kansas and Missouri would say, gigantic middle finger, while we are
sympathetic,
we don't ask to raise Californians' rates when a tornado comes through.
Well, that was one of the big things that is believed to have led to the Big Four dropping out of California was they enacted a 1973 law restricting how much they can raise the rates. And so the Big Four said, okay, bye.
Huh. Okay. When we get back, if the Chiefs win, can you get a t-shirt that says three-peat on it? That's back in the news. Charlie Hustle weighs in. Also, how much time do kids spend on their phone when they're at school? There's a new study out. There is a number. We'll get to all that and much more coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.